Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
Hey there, I'm Paul Kaltenbach, live in Hell's Kitchen, New York City, and you're tuned to International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi everyone, welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, January the 22nd, 2023. My name's Sheldon, I am here with Jill, and we thank you for joining us here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and on the web at ckut.ca, where you can get us live streaming and archived. If you would like to get in touch with us, our email address is radioreport@yahoo.com. We have a Facebook group where we are quickly approaching 900 members. We have two new members this week, bringing us to 890. We welcome Alan and a group called TV Montreal Media joining as well. Look for International Radio Report on Facebook and consider joining our group. And if you want to listen to our show at your convenience, the best way to do that is through YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. YouTube.com/@IRR, and there are 766 subscribers there. You can tune in anytime you like and listen into the most current show, or go back and listen to any of the shows you may want to listen to again, or possibly some shows that you missed. So lots of ways to track us down here on the show. We're going to start off with a story out of the United States. It comes to us from Radio World. And the headline is GBH awarded $16 million to digitize radio and TV broadcasts. I wasn't sure what GBH was at first, and then realized that it is formerly WGBH, Radio and Television, one of the major public broadcasting stations in the U.S., both radio and television. So as I said, this is from Radio World. The Mellon Foundation has just awarded Boston public media producer GBH $16 million. This money will support the American Archive of Public Broadcastings, or the AAPB's, mission to digitize and preserve historic public radio and television programs from across the United States. The AAPB, in collaboration between WGBH, now GBH, and the Library of Congress. According to a GBH press release, this grant will support the digitization of up to 150,000 items, which in turn will double the current size of the archive collection. The $16 million will also support other critical work to preserve and share at-risk content currently residing on deteriorating media formats. The vast collection of public media programs is American history as seen through local, regional, and national lenses, but we are in a race against time to preserve these at-risk treasures now on fragile and obsolete formats, said GBH President and CEO Susan Goldberg. The AAPB archive currently contains nearly 100,000 items, which are available online for the public to stream for free, dating back more than 70 years. With thousands more available for research access. A few examples of the material include episodes of WNET's Black Journal, unedited interviews recorded for Eyes on the Prize, the kid-driven 70s series Zoom, and the entire gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Watergate hearings. The grant to GBH builds on previous support from the Mellon Foundation. Karen Cariani, a GBH project director, said, "With this funding, the AAPB will be able to better support its contributing stations, as well as the growing number of users who rely on our digital archive for education, journalism, scholarship, and more." The AAPB was initiated by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with a series of pilot projects before granting stewardship to the Library of Congress and GBH in 2013. So I'm assuming a lot of these programs are on video cassettes, maybe on audio cassettes, various formats that will deteriorate over time. So digitizing these radio and TV broadcasts is a way to preserve them.
Yeah, this is a great idea. It's kind of interesting also because, I mean, the media represents a moment in time. So it's like a time machine. I look at YouTube. They have these old shows from the 70s or 80s or documentaries. I mean, it is a time machine. You go there and you look at that and you're like, wow. This is cool because I'm thinking of the CBC here in Montreal with all the archives they had. And they came to a point where I guess a lot of it was almost thrown away because they just didn't want to pay anyone or pay for converting them into some digital media that could stay forever, which is sad. So this is great.
I know CBC had an extensive library of vinyl. Yep. They used to produce, record live performances, concerts by Canadian artists and what have you, put them out on vinyl. And those archives were destroyed. Yep. And they were not converted to any sort of digital format. So those recordings are lost unless there's masters of them somewhere around that, you know, are stored somewhere that they can convert. Those things are just gone. So to see, you know, somebody here realizing that this is worth something and putting in a $16 million investment into it is certainly certainly nice to see.
So we have KDKA Pittsburgh that is receiving the 2023 World Radio Day Award. This is by Radio World. KDKA News Radio is the recipient of the 2023 World Radio Day Award for U.S. stations. The World Radio Day Award honors a station that exemplifies the best attributes of the radio industry. This is the fourth annual award. The Pittsburgh News Talk station is owned by Odyssey and can be heard at 100.1 FM and 1020 AM. World Radio Day is celebrated annually on February 13th in commemoration of the birth of United Nations Radio in 1946. The official International Day was adopted by the 67th United Nations General Assembly in 2012. This year, the theme for the 12th edition of World Radio Day is Radio and Peace. KDKA, recognized as the oldest licensed radio station in America, was preceded in winning the award by Odyssey sister station 1010 WINS in New York, which received it last year. Other previous winners include WRHU at Hofstra University on Long Island and the inaugural winner WTOP in Washington, D.C. We're proud to join the list of iconic heritage brands that represent the very best the radio and industry has to offer, says Michael Spacchiapoli, Senior Vice President and Market Manager of Odyssey Pittsburgh. Award jurors included representatives of Fletcher, Held & Hildreth, Radio Inc., The Waste Agency, Talkers Magazine, McVeigh Media Consulting, Odyssey, and Radio World, which was represented by Editor-in-Chief Paul McLean. So congratulations. This is great.
If you're not familiar with KDKA, if you're on the East Coast, anywhere in the eastern part of North America, KDKA is usually a clear channel signal on 1020 AM. So if you want to check them out, they're a news talk radio station, so you can hear them in the evenings. I'm not sure how many states they cover, but quite a lot yep. in the eastern part of North America on 1020. Next we go, speaking of AM radio stations, we have an update from Paul McLean at Radio World. The headline is "The Slow Erosion in the AM Station Count in the United States Continues." The number of AM stations in the United States continued to decline slowly in the past year. There were 25 fewer licensed AM stations at the end of 2022 than a year earlier, according to fresh FCC data. The AM total has fallen about 3% over the past 5 years, according to Radio World's calculations, and now stands at 4,484 AM stations. The growth in FM translators continues. There were 84 more licenses in the category of translators and boosters at the end of 2022 from a year earlier. There are now 8,950, which is a growth of 18% over 5 years as the FM band continues to become ever more crowded. The category of FM full-service commercial stations added 10 licenses and is now at 6,686, though that's very slightly below its level of 5 years ago. Meanwhile, FM Educational added 3 stations this year, which and now stands at 4,207, up about 2% since 2017. The low-power FM category lost 54 licenses over the past year, and at 2015 total, it is down about 3% over 5 years. That's an indication, I think, of a lot of people applied for these low-power FM stations, thought, wow, this is great. We can get a radio station. We can be on the air. And then they found out that it was probably a lot of work and there was money involved in running these things. So seeing 54 of them disappear is not overly surprising to me.
Yeah, apparently it takes time to create content. I don't know, maybe we know a little bit about that. But,
yeah, I think so.
You know, I would not panic too much here because, I mean, a 3% decline, we, of course, don't like declines in AM radio. Will AM radio be listenable in the future because of all the source of noise? That will probably make the decline steeper if that starts to happen.
We've had a lot of stories recently about even politicians that are lobbying to give AM stations more power, more credibility out there, and realizing the importance of them during emergency situations, hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, weather-related issues, earthquakes, you name it. They have the ability to stay on the air in many cases where, you know, sometimes the FMs will shut down or they're automated and they, you know, they don't literally have anybody there to go on the air and tell you any information. So they serve an important purpose, and let's hope that we at least keep some of them around.
So there's a special event station, W4C, that is marking the 100th anniversary of WMC, Memphis' first full-service radio station. This is via Jim Pogue, National Radio Club Facebook page. Brandon Jordan, K2SWL, and I, Jim Pogue, KH2AR, will be operating special event station W4C, marking the 100th anniversary of WMC. Memphis' first full-service radio station. The station will operate starting January 20th and go until February 2nd, 2023. WMC Radio Memphis' first full-service radio station began regularly scheduled broadcasting on January the 20th, 1923, from the top floor of the Commercial Appeal newspaper building in downtown Memphis. Listeners enjoyed a full range of musical expression, along with news, sports, and information. On January 23, 1927, WMC gave the Mid-South its first network programs when it affiliated with the National Broadcasting Corporation. Although Memphis was racially segregated at the time, early programs featured late-night concerts from blues singers. Bessie Smith performed at WMC in October of 1923. During the catastrophic Mississippi River floods of 1927 and 1937, WMC broadcast 24 hours daily information for steamboats, disaster relief agencies, and refugees. In the 1930s, WMC also operated 250-watt Apex station W4XCZ on 31,600 kilohertz. Originally licensed to operate on both 750 and 619 kilohertz, WMC now transmits on 790 kilohertz. We look forward for contacting fellow hams worldwide and will be operating CW, single sideband, and FT8 modes. They're having a nice QSL card printed. We'll be happy to confirm QSOs as well as shortwave listening reports. And talking about QSOs, I was one of the first actually to be contacting that W4C station. I was doing some 30-meter FT8, which UTC date was January 20th. And, well, on 30 meters, W4C popped up. And then I remembered that we're talking about it today. And I, of course, had a nice little FT8 contact. Hopefully, I'll have a single sideband voice also. I'd like to have that. Maybe I'll get that QSL card.
Yeah, these stations, when they pop up on the ham bands, attract a lot of attention. That call is very unique with a three-digit call, W4C. So look for them. You can use some of the spotting sites to look for them to see where they might be transmitting. And that's running for quite a long time, from January 20th to February the 2nd. So you'll have quite a number of opportunities to track them down. And maybe at the same time, if you're within range of WMC, the broadcast station on 790 kilohertz, yep, you can maybe try to tune into them as well. They'll probably have some special programming going on to mark the 100th anniversary.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, another week of very active sunspots. There were some solar flares, M flares mostly. And, of course, with that, a lot of the flares were sending out coronal mass ejections that did go a couple of times at minor geomagnetic storm levels. So propagation and conditions were changing almost hour by hour, actually. And I could see it on the ham bands while I was doing contacts, as there was shifting of what areas of the world I would get stations from. So it's changing propagation. One of the things that amazed me, and it shows with that solar flux above 200, Radio New Zealand passed local midnight, which is 05 UTC, on 15/7/20 in January. I don't remember ever hearing that before. It's usually a summer thing, and signal was actually surprisingly good. And so the solar flux 219, as we record, the sunspot number 166, and no real coronal holes. I think really what we will need to check out once again this week with the high number of sunspot groups is to check out the different solar flares that could happen, geomagnetic activity, and basically the only way that you can really witness the propagation conditions is to turn on a radio and listen.
This is Gregory Majewski of Oakdale, Connecticut. You're listening to International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
So we have a story about RFERL that is opening new offices in the Baltic states. This is by T. Carter Ross, Radar World. After suspending its operations in Russia in early 2022, following the start of that country's invasion of Ukraine, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, has officially opened new offices in Vilnius, Lithuania, and Riga in Latvia. As first announced in March 2022, these new offices are part of a comprehensive strategy to counter disinformation and reach new audiences in Belarus and Russia. It will also allow RFERL to produce more Russian language content for the Baltic nations and beyond. RFERL President and CEO Jimmy Fly said, having served Latvian and Lithuanian audiences during difficult periods in their histories, we are excited to be able to return now to work together to provide new generations who are still denied freedom with access to unbiased reporting. These new offices mark RFERL's physical return to Riga and Vilnius, where the services maintained bureaus from 1992 to 2004. At the Vilnius launch on January 10th, Fly was joined by the Lithuanian president, speaker of the parliament, and exiled Belarusian leader, the U.S. ambassador to Lithuania, the former RFERL president and member of RFERL board of directors, and other esteemed guests. The Vilnius facility hosts journalists exiled from Belarus following the disputed 2020 presidential elections there. At the time, the RFERL Minsk bureau was raided and sealed, and the Belarus services websites were blocked in July 2021. In December 2021, RFERL was designated an extremist organization, a label that criminalized both the reporting and consumption of RFERL content. Two Belarus service journalists remain imprisoned by the Lukashenko regime. The Riga office will be one of RFERL's largest reporting hubs with state-of-the-art facilities. It will host journalists from the Current Time TV, a 24/7 Russian language news platform, along with the RFERL Russian service staff forced out of Russia in March of 2022. Additional new staff will be hired in Latvia, too. The office will produce a wide range of Russian language content, including investigative journalism and non-news programming for RFERL's soon-to-be-launched streaming platform, VodVod, a new daily news program covering the Baltic states, focusing on the political and economic reality of the three EU members and their citizens, is also planned. A digital innovation lab will also be established in Riga to develop new reporting tools, storytelling formats, and distribution processes that are replicable across RFERL and the broader media community. In partnership with the Open Technology Fund, the Digital Innovation Lab will examine new ways to respond to Russian censorship and disinformation across the RFERL market. Funded through the U.S. Agency for Global Media, RFERL is an editorially independent media company working with a network of local reporters to provide accurate news and information to more than 37 million people every week in 27 languages and 23 countries where media freedom is restricted and where a professional press is not fully developed. You know, we might think of this as an era when, you know, we heard a lot of Radio Free Europe back in the Cold War days. We don't hear a lot about it today, but it's still doing a very active job in actually sending out news to regions of the world where it's kind of difficult to get good information.
Especially now, I think, with the Ukraine crisis, that sort of piqued interest in these services again. And they realized that there was an opportunity for them to supply information that was probably being blocked, taken off the air completely, as they talked about, you know, certain journalists being imprisoned and what have you. So I think it's an important service to have out there. And it will be on radio as well. People will be able to dig out those radios and actually listen to some of these services, giving them information that they probably right now are just not able to get through other sources. And for our final story today, we move over to Africa, to the country of Nigeria, where one radio station is raising awareness around injustice. This comes from Hamzat Abaga, the International Journalists Network. There are more than 200,000 child right abuse cases in Nigeria in 2020, according to the National Human Rights Commission. Today, many girls in Niger State, Nigeria, have chosen to remain silent about the sexual abuse they've experienced, often due to stigmatization. In some cases, too, the perpetrators are even relatives. In September, Crusaders Radio, an independent radio show that broadcasts from Niger State, received a report about a young man who had committed sexual violence against two related minors. The radio station dived into the case and involved Niger State's Child Rights Agency to help identify and prosecute the perpetrators. The men were later arrested by authorities. For the past 5 years, Crusaders Radio has focused on shedding light on civil and human rights abuses in the state. Through its reporting, the radio show has helped groups, especially the less privileged, receive justice. During the independent radio show, which today has over 70,000 listeners, listeners submitted complaints which are then discussed and resolved on air. Our activities are mainly centered on injustice, abuse of power, human rights abuse, child abuse, and theft, among other social vices, said Crusader Radio's founder and CEO, Sony Otache. Any of the problems we can't provide solutions to, we look for the root causes of the problems and uproot them directly. Crusaders Radio has helped over 2,000 people through the outlet's unique dispute method, according to Itachi. The cases brought to the radio show's attention are first negotiated off-air between the parties and the outlet. Only when one party refuses to resolve the case after several attempts is it brought to discuss on the program. In one case, a former police officer reached out to Crusaders Radio, claiming he had been illegally dismissed from service in 1991 on a misconduct allegation that could not be proved. The radio show contacted the police commission in the capital of Abuja, and the officer ultimately received some of the retirement benefits he was previously barred from. A popular saying in Pidgin English, often spoken by the presenters of the radio show, is, "He who comes into equity must come with clean hands. For those behind Crusaders Radio, this means that they must not take sides during the disputes. Going forward, the team plans to search for experts in pressing issues like elections, politics, or social conflicts for interviews and to offer timely insight. The main challenge Crusaders Radio continues to face is in gaining further trust among the public, including with government officials, in order for citizens to report cases to them without fear of reprisal or biased decision making. Today, many victims of social injustice in Niger State have stories to tell, but have been unable to voice their problems due to a lack of opportunity. By providing a platform for victims to speak up and be heard, Crusaders Radio and programs like it are fulfilling a crucial need in the region. It's obviously having some impact with an independent radio program having over 70,000 listeners is pretty impressive. So we congratulate them on the work that they're doing over there in Nigeria, which, you know, I heard something about Nigeria this week that within the next, I think they said 10 or 20 years, is going to become the fourth most populous country in the world. Which I found that hard to believe at first, but, you know, I think it was on a Jeopardy question where I actually heard that, and I was trying to guess the answer, and then they came with the answer being Nigeria, and I mean, that was not one country I thought would have fallen into that category, but, you know, there's an indication where so many people in a country that, you know, has had a lot of problems over the years, and having services like Crusaders Radio is certainly helping out a lot of people there.
According to the latest census of 2021, they are 213.4 million.
Wow. You wouldn't think that.
No.
Surprising.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We have a little bit of everything this week. I think if you're a ham, you'll find something that might interest you here. Starting with a CQ 160 meter band contest. It is in CW. 2200 Zulu January 27th to 2200 Zulu January the 29th. It's organized by CQ. 160 meters only, and it is CW only.
Le Réseau des Amateurs Français, Union Française des Radioamateurs. Contest CW 0600 Zulu January 28th to 1800 Zulu January 29th. The French HF Championship Coupe de REF. Objective: French amateurs work as many amateur stations in many French of the 97 metropolitan departments, overseas territories, and DXCC countries of the world as possible. And foreign amateurs work as many French stations in as many of the 97 metropolitan departments and overseas French territories as possible. Bands are 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters, and it's in CW.
Next, the British Amateur Radio Teledata Group will hold the RTTY Sprint, 1200 Zulu January 28th to 1200 Zulu January 29th. It's on all of the amateur bands, but it is RTTY only.
The UBADX Contest, SSB, 1300 Zulu January 28th to 1300 Zulu January 29th, organized by the Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union, bands 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. And it's in single sideband.
And we have a big event coming up, the Winter Field Day, 1900 Zulu January 28th to 1900 Zulu January 29th, sponsored by the Winter Field Day Association. Winter Field Day is a communications exercise. It is held on the last full weekend in January and can be worked from the comfort of your home or in a remote location. You can participate by yourself or get with your friends, family, or a whole club involved. A Winter Field Day is open to participants worldwide. Amateur radio operators may use frequencies in the HF, VHF, or UHF bands and are free to use any mode that can faithfully transmit the required exchange intact. Similar to the ARRL's Field Day, bonus points are earned in several ways, including using non-commercial power sources, operating from remote locations, satellite contacts, and more. So it's all bands, HF, VHF, and UHF, and it's all modes. So that's the Winter Field Day contest. Sounds pretty unique.
And so we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning into our show. We are here every Sunday morning at 10:30, 15:30 UTC. And, of course, you can get us online at ckut.ca and through our YouTube channel. Look for International Radio Report and join our Facebook group, also International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you again next Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.